Let me ask the Lord to bless our time, just our brief time in His Word as a meditation for our preparation to come to His table. And by the way, you do not have to be a member of this church to partake of the Lord's Supper. If you'd like to come, we invite everyone to come to the Lord's table. Let me pray for us. God, bless our time in Your Word. And yes, we ask that You would prepare our hearts for the special means of grace that You have for us through proclamation of Your truth and also this preparation to come to Your table. Bless our hearts, our minds, in Jesus' name. Amen. The church calendar offers seasons of reflection and remembrance, which bring to mind important truths of the Christian faith. Christmas reminds us of the uniqueness of the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Certainly, for us, it is more than just a feel-good time of year. Christmas is deeply, hear me, deeply theological, as it gives us understanding of what God is doing in time and space in our world. Cindy and I take sixth graders, and we spend a good 8 or 9 months with them out of each year, and we're basically laying a theological foundation for them. We're in the midst of that now, and we're laying concrete. We want them to stand on a solid foundation, and of course, discipleship is ongoing, but we work especially with those sixth graders, and we cover 15 or so questions over those months. And one of those questions is this, and they can answer it just like this if I gave it to them. I don't know if you can, but they can, or at least in this unique way. Who is Jesus Christ? And they will answer, Jesus is the eternally begotten Son of God and Son of Mary, fully divine and fully human. That's their response to that question. He's the eternally begotten Son of God and Son of Mary, fully divine and fully human. The one person of Jesus Christ has two natures. To understand Christmas, to understand the incarnation of our Lord, you need to just understand those words. One person, two natures, fully divine and fully human. God and man, divinity and humanity. There are, of course, countless scriptures to reference, but let me just give you one in John 1, verse 14. This is one of the great ones. John says this, the Word, that's talking about Jesus, in His eternal state, the Word became flesh. He took on a body, became flesh, and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, the glory of this person, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ, being the Son of God and the Son of Man, is the mediator between God and humanity. He's uniquely positioned because of who He is. Christmas reminds us of that. But let's go back a little ways. In God's covenant with Abraham, so many centuries ago, He chose a man from whom He would create a nation. And from that nation, He would bless the world. All the families would be blessed. God wanted more than just one particular people at one place to connect with Him. He wanted all people connected to Him. And so He set in motion this great plan of redemption, the story of salvation. Now, as Dr. Greb read earlier to us, an aspect of that story of salvation we see in Genesis 28, and it's very important. Jacob, that is Abraham's grandson, who would later have 12 sons that would form the 12 tribes of Israel and make up the nation of Israel. Jacob, we find him in this account, in this historical account in Genesis 28. He's a young man. He's not married yet. He's on his way to see his kinfolk in order to find a wife. And something happens to him. He meets God in a vision, in a dream, in the night. And it's a powerful moment. And I just want to highlight just a few verses from that passage. It was read in the full context. I just want to highlight a few verses. Verses 10 through 12, we read this. Jacob came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. So he took a stone and he probably folded up a coat or something that he had, put on the stone, and he went to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And in you and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth will be blessed. So this is the same promise that was made to Abraham. It was made to Isaac, and now it is made to Abraham's grandson, Jacob. So Jacob dreamed of a ladder. Now, we've heard Jacob's ladder before. If you go to the gym that I work out at on occasion, they have this machine where you're basically climbing a ladder, and I cannot stay on there very long. It's called Jacob's ladder, and that's the reference to this. It was a ladder that went from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven. Now, this is a key image. Don't miss the image of this idea of connection between heaven and earth, God to man. Now, this is interesting. When Jesus was calling his disciples, he talked to a guy named Philip, and Philip was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. And so Philip went and got his buddy Nathanael, and Jesus had a conversation with Nathanael. And I don't want to highlight the whole thing, but in that conversation, Jesus said this. This is John 1, verse 51. And he said to him, to Nathanael, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus is describing himself as this ladder. Now, there's no doubt that Nathanael knew the story that we read in Genesis 28, and there's no doubt that Jesus was referencing himself as the embodiment of that image, that vision that Jacob had so long ago. Jesus bridges heaven and earth with his virgin birth. He came down from heaven to earth. This is called the incarnation of Christ. That word means taking on flesh. The Son of God took on flesh, fully human. That is, the ladder comes all the way down and touches the earth. He's fully divine. That means the ladder goes all the way up and touches heaven. That's the connection. Fully God, fully human. He had a human mother. He had a human body. He had a human will. He had human emotions. He had a divine father. He had a divine will. He had divine power. The uniqueness of his person. In his love and grace, Jesus came all the way down, born in a stable, in a small town. He walked the dusty roads of Palestine. Later, he would bleed. Yes, he would bleed. He would go on a cross, not for his own sins, but for the sins of the world. And he would die, and he would be buried. Lower he would go, and lower. Why? Why come all the way down? Why does the ladder touch even the depths of the heart of the earth in burial? Why? So he can take us up. Because the ladder goes up in resurrection and ascension. You see, this glorious image of Jacob's ladder is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's Christmas. And after his vision, Jacob memorialized the place with a stone. Do you remember that part? Let's look at this. This is verses 16 to 18. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it, and he was afraid. And he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head, and he set it up for a pillar of remembrance. Do you know what an Ebenezer is? Have you heard of that, an Ebenezer? An Ebenezer is a stone that is served as a physical marker or a reminder, a memorial to help us remember the blessings of God, the help of God. One example, there's a few examples in the Old Testament. One is in 1 Samuel 7, when Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So we raise an Ebenezer, that is, to remind us of how good God has been to us in the past. Thank Him for His grace in the present and for the blessings that are sure to come. See, we need some intentionality about our remembrance because it's easy for us to forget. We need to be intentional in our worship. Rebecca Sharrock is one of only 80 people in the world who has a condition called Highly Superior Autobiographical Memory, HSAM. Highly Superior Autobiographical Memory. She can remember every moment in her life in extraordinary detail. She can remember what she had for lunch on June the 23rd. Anybody remember that? She can even remember as a little girl looking up at a steering wheel in the car wondering what that was. That's a memory there. She can recite the entire collection of Harry Potter books. Rebecca has that rare condition that helps her remember. We don't. We need some intentionality. We need some markers. We need times of focus and reflection. And Christmas is an Ebenezer. It is a time to remember, a stone for us to reflect, not on the Christmas trappings of this world, but it's a moment for us to remember what God is doing, connecting earth to heaven through His eternal Son, born of a woman. There's another Ebenezer we're familiar with around Christmas time. Bah Humbug, Ebenezer Scrooge. He's the main character in Charles Dickens' great story, A Christmas Carol. He's a very cold-hearted and selfish elderly man. He has no love for Christmas. He has no love for happiness. But he's transformed when he is visited by three ghosts or spirits of Christmas past, of Christmas present, and of Christmas yet to come, the future. He looks back by these spirits and he helps him see what he's been in the past, what that is causing in the present, and then the ghost of the future shows him his own tombstone. One day he will die. And these reflections, these remembrances come upon him in such a way that he's transformed. He becomes a better, more generous man. He saw his past, his present, his coming death in a new way. Scrooge had forgotten the meaning of Christmas. He never knew the true meaning of Christmas. We need some Ebenezer stones that remind us of the truth of Christmas. Or our hearts, too, can become Scrooge-like and forgetful. You know, the Bible does not record the date of Jesus' birth. We don't know when He was born. Most likely, or certainly, He wasn't born on December the 25th. But it is good, I think, for us to set aside a time, a season, when we remember who He is and why He's come. One last verse, Genesis 28, 16 and 17. Jacob set up a stone and said, "How awesome is this place! The Lord is in this place. This is the gateway to heaven. How awesome is our Lord Jesus Christ! He is the Lord, and He is the gateway to heaven." And we remember. Now, of course, Holy Communion is a remembrance stone. Holy Communion is another Ebenezer where we remember what Christ has done. Christmas uniquely says who He is. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Mary. The latter has come touching earth and heaven. But why did He come? Why did He come? He came to die, to be a sacrifice in His own blood for our sins. And He said, do this, take the bread, take the cup in remembrance of me.